Radio Prague News.
Czech hockey stars Karola Hunek, Josef Vašíček and Jan Marek and 41 others are reported dead after a plane crash in Russia. The CIA used Czech airports to carry out extraordinary renditions on at least two occasions in 2004. And the National Intelligence Agency has strongly criticized the Czech judiciary for corruption and malpractice. An aircraft carrying the Russian ice hockey team Lokomotiv Yaroslavl has crashed, killing at least 36 people, among them three star Czech hockey players, Karola Hunek, Josef Vašíček and Jan Marek. The Yak-42 passenger plane went down near the city of Yaroslavl in northwestern Russia on its way to a match in Belarus, the first of the season. One person on board is reported to have survived. The Russian news agency Interfax has cited officials as saying that the plane was having difficulty gaining altitude and hit a runway antenna, after which it crashed and caught fire. Other victims apparently include Slovak legend Pavel Dimitra and Swedish goalkeeper Liv Stefan. The American Central Intelligence Agency used Czech airports to carry out extraordinary renditions on at least two occasions in 2004. According to U.S. court documents acquired by Czech radio, two small jets with diplomatic status landed in Prague in the autumn of that year, ferrying terrorism suspects between the United States and sites in the Middle East. The CIA used two external companies to intermediate the transfers. The same planes were also used to transfer prisoners to the Guantanamo Bay detention facility. Czech politicians have consistently denied any participation on the part of the Czech Republic in the CIA's clandestine rendition programs. The U.S. Embassy in Prague has thus far refused to comment. The National Intelligence Agency, BIS, has issued damning criticism of the Czech judiciary in its annual report for 2010. The report claims that the system is burdened by corruption, leaking of sensitive information, shady contacts with the criminal underworld, and sluggish officials. These offenses, it says, go unpunished thanks to the legally defined position of judges and public prosecutors. As an example of corruption and clientelism, the report cites the ties between the police and state administration and the law college at the University of West Bohemia, where some students received academic qualifications without having done the necessary work. BIS reports that such situations have repeatedly been uncovered at other law colleges in the country. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen is in the Czech Republic for talks regarding the organization's transformation and role in global security. The top NATO official will also be discussing military operations in Afghanistan, missile defense, and relations with Russia with Prime Minister Petr Nečas, Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg, and Defense Minister Alexander Vondra. The talks are further expected to cover the participation of the Czech Republic in Allied operations and missions, the Alliance Summit in 2012, as well as possible deployments in Libya. Regarding the latter, Mr. Rasmussen said Wednesday that he has no information regarding the whereabouts of Muammar Gaddafi and added that he was not a target of NATO's operations. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to remain cloudy, with scattered showers and daytime highs of around 19 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, towns get more powers in fighting air pollution, but is it enough in cities where an increasing number of inhabitants are suffering from allergies and asthma as a result? Czech soldiers are up against a new challenge, fighting flab. In Spotlight, we'll take you to the National Museum of Agriculture in Prague, and we'll end as usual with another Czech lesson. All that coming your way, so do please stay with us. The Lower House of Parliament on Tuesday gave final approval to a bill which will provide local administrations with a means to fight air pollution more effectively. In the event of a smog alert, mayors can order the biggest pollutants to scale down production, ban high emissions cars from city centres, and scrap toll on ring roads in order to reduce the amount of traffic. Town mayors and environment activists had long been pushing for the amendment, and I asked Wojciech Kotecki from Friends of the Earth how effective he thinks it will be in practice.
The concept of low emission zones, which will provide local councils with power to regulate car traffic in the times of heavy pollution, is a tool which has been very successfully used in other European countries. In Stockholm, Sweden, this law or this concept cut air pollution by dust microparticles, which is a major health hazard, by 40%. And we hope that this new law will bring similar changes in the Czech Republic as well.
So you're expecting it to have a significant impact?
It will definitely provide city councils and town mayors with a substantial new tool to reduce air pollution. However, it will be primarily up to the local councils and local governments whether they will use this tool which the government or the law provides them with.
Would you go further? Do you think that there is anything else that needs to be done in this respect? Because obviously the situation with air pollution, for instance, in industrial cities like Ostrava is very bad indeed.
Actually, the law does include one more important clause. It will give the government additional powers for regulation of industrial pollution in the most heavily polluted industrial areas in the Czech Republic, such as the city of Ostrava. So that it will help in this respect as well. However, it is only part of the solution, and we need additional major changes in air pollution law, and it's very encouraging to see that the Minister of Environment already presented a big overhaul of the air pollution legislation to the Parliament this month, and it will be key debate on environmental legislation in the Czech Parliament over the next several months.
So what are the biggest changes there? What's in the pipeline, and what do you think is essential for the situation to change radically, not just for a crisis situation when there is a smog alert, but in general for the air to improve in this country, in certain parts of it?
The new law will do several important changes, but the most important point of the new legislation is that it will substantially increase air pollution fees for industry, so that big companies and big polluters will be motivated to invest in cleaner technologies in order to avoid higher fees for air pollution.
Wojciech Kotecki there on some vital environmental legislation in the pipeline. Now, turning to a different topic, a new study has raised serious questions about diet and fitness in the Czech military after revealing that half of the army's 22,000 soldiers are overweight. The alarming result means the military will introduce a low-fat diet, likely boost fitness training, and provide troops with fat-fighting pills. The last measure, though, has come under criticism, with many experts suggesting that medicine should only be used as a last resort. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The Czech Army cannot be happy over the recent results showing that every second soldier is overweight and one in seven obese. The findings mean that over a six-month period, the military will strive to shed the extra kilos, enforcing a new low-fat diet and providing overweight personnel with fat-burning pills. It didn't take long, though, for the latter to stir controversy, with some experts suggesting the Army's focus on medicine over fitness is misplaced. General Yiti Shegivi, the former head of the General Staff of the Armed Forces, is one of the critics.
Treating obese soldiers with pills is a bit extravagant. If someone needs to lose weight, then they need to run and exercise more to lose the extra kilos. These are regular methods that were used in the past. Simply, those who suffer from weight problems have to work a lot harder to stay in shape, and those who suffer illness due to obesity shouldn't be in the army in the first place.
Since then, the army has countered that pills will only be the last line of defense. Dr. Pavel Hlubík of the Faculty of Military Health Sciences at the University of Defense in Hradec Králové makes clear that fat-busting drugs are not the most important facet.
Pharmaceuticals are not the first step under any circumstances, and there is no pink, blue, or green pill that will help you lose 10 kilograms by morning.
Nutritionists like Monika Givishova, the head of a Prague-based diet and wellness clinic, agree. In her experience, only an emphasis on exercise and especially a healthy diet can help bring about lasting change.
In my 12 years of experience working, like coaching people in healthy weight management, I have seen many, many cases where we just add a little bit of exercise or increase the exercise and change actually a little bit the diet. This means we get rid of the main food with the empty calories, we add more water, we add a little bit more vegetable fiber, and people start to lose weight. In my opinion, the medications are for really obese people or with people or patients who really fail with all the other lifestyle adjustments.
Until now, soldiers in the Czech Army, for example, under the age of 30, have been required to take 2 fitness exams annually, requiring a minimum of 22 push-ups, 8 sit-ups, and a timed 2.6-kilometer run. Clearly, such requirements, though, are not enough if half the military is to get back in shape and avoid mirroring broader Czech society. According to statistics, every third adult in the country is overweight.
Poor guys, I wonder how many more sit-ups they'll have to do every day. On the other hand, the idea of our soldiers huffing and puffing in battle is rather disconcerting. Well, we'll be sure to let you know how effective the slimming cure turns out to be. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, where it's now time for a fresh edition of Spotlight. Located in the Letná neighbourhood of Prague, the National Museum of Agriculture seeks to bring a slice of country life to the Czech capital. Visitors can see some of the tools and machinery used in agriculture and even some real-life farm animals in the museum's peaceful courtyard. Sarah Barufka went to check it out.
A cock crowing is certainly not a sound you would expect to hear in the middle of Prague. But a few farm animals are part of the outdoor exhibit of Prague's Museum of Agriculture, where city dwellers can learn all about farming and the country's rich history of work on the land. Its director, Zdeněk Novák, showed me around the museum a bit on a recent visit.
This is quite new activity of the museum, to show in the reality some animals which people can meet in farm and to meet some trees, wood, which they can meet in the forest. So we have 2 sheep, we have some rabbits, and we have this cock and he can hear it. He is very organized. And we would like to show the Prague people, especially children, animals which they cannot meet in zoo garden. And I suppose it's quite shocking to meet in Prague sheep or to hear kukuruku by a cock.
The museum was established in 1891 on the initiative of the organizers of the Jubilee exhibition held in Prague that year. The Museum of Agriculture was a part of the Ethnographic Museum until it became an independent institution in 1918. Antonín Švehla, an important figure in Czechoslovakian politics and the leader of the Agrarian Party, was its first director. But as the role of agriculture in society underwent sweeping changes, so did the mission of the museum. I asked Mr. Novák to talk about some of the changes.
The original mission was to research and improve the countryside, the agricultural sphere. Today, in my eyes, it's more complicated because in the time when the museum was established, the farmer was a very important part of social life because farmers, they have special political party, the most important, most powerful party in the Czechoslovakia between 2 wars. Nowadays, the people in cities, they don't understand how important is work of farmers, foresters, people who take care for fish ponds and so on. So we would like, especially in our Prague branch, we would like to show our visitors, we would like to show how beautiful is the Czech country. The Czech countryside, the Czech cultural landscape was created through 1,000 years by farmers, by foresters, and in opposite to the fact that it's a country in the center of Europe with a high level of industry life and production, in opposite to this fact, the country still is beautiful.
In addition to the Prague branch, the museum also has satellite locations across the country, among them two chateaus. One of them is the Chateau Kachina, where the Museum of the Czech Countryside is located. The second, the Chateau Ohrada in South Bohemia, where the Museum of Forestry, Gamekeeping and Fisheries has its home. In addition, there are two other locations that are part of the National Agricultural Museum.
The third branch is in central Bohemia in Čáslav. It's a very large area concerning the technique mechanization used in agriculture. And the last one is in Valtice, in Lednice Valtice Cultural Landscape, which is inscribed into the World Heritage List. And this branch concerns on wine production, horticulture, cultural landscape, landscape architecture, and these items.
While the satellite branches of the museum focus on specialized areas of agriculture, the permanent exhibition at the Prague location tries to provide a fundamental overview of tools and practices used in agriculture.
We have now only one permanent exhibition. It's a window to Čáslav collection. It's a window to our large collection of mechanization or agriculture technique. We have tractors here, I suppose about 20, and we show the production not only in the Czech Republic. We have some engines made by Ford and some German products. Then we have exhibitions concerned on the theme wood or forestry, because the year 2011 is the International Forest Year declared by United Nations Organization.
The permanent exhibit also features some interactive elements such as games and quizzes. Children can even borrow small pedal tractors. Along with the live animals in the back courtyard, it makes the museum a very child-friendly destination. Adults will most likely find it fascinating how the history of agriculture in this country mirrors the broader happenings. Mr. Novák explains that the role of the farmer in Czech society has undergone massive changes and differs greatly from the situation in other countries.
I suppose that the tradition, the role of the farmers as a very important group of society, really stopped thanks to the communist regime, which has one goal: to elevate the city and the village. And the village people, they started to repeat some habits of city people. They started to have really job 8 hours per day, not as the other farmers in other countries, in England, France, Switzerland, Germany, Austria, United States, who really take care for their animals, for their fields, for their meadows since the morning till sunset. And it's, I suppose, a very important change in the mentality of our farmers. After 1989, some people who felt something like a roots in the family, they took back their ground, their fields, meadows, and sometimes animals. And some of them who are very brave, they try to start the new tradition of the Czech agriculture, Czech farmers. But it's really a very complicated sphere, because there are some tendencies to create big farms, some tendencies to support the private farming, and the situation is more complicated, in my opinion, than in countries in which the history, the development wasn't so rapidly broken like it was in the Czech Republic, thanks to the World War II, Communist Revolution in 1948 and the Velvet Revolution 1989.
Mr. Novák says that in the future, the museum would like to expand its approach to multimedia, especially video, to better communicate its message and show in a vivid way how the landscape of the Czech Republic changed over time.
We would like to improve our message to our guests using some modern technique, because I suppose what is very interesting, in my opinion, is to understand the procedures in the landscape through the time, which we cannot understand because we don't see them. So we would like to use some applications on PCs, on touchpads, on some screens, to show our guests how, for instance, the seeds start to grow into the forest. We would like to show our guests how the landscape was changed through some centuries, how the landscape was cared by the people, how the structure of the landscape was changed. Because you can visit some part of Bohemia or Moravia, you can see beautiful fish ponds, nice landscape, but you just see it as a picture. And we would like to show it as a movie, as it was started with some just wood, and then the people, they start to take care for the landscape, they start to create fields, meadows, and so on. They start to build houses, country houses, castles. And I suppose that this program can improve the understanding of common people, how difficult it is to, and how responsible is to take care for our landscape in a good way.
But even without such a display having been added to the permanent exhibit, the Prague branch of the National Museum of Agriculture is well worth a visit. And it is probably the only place in the city where you can hear a very active cock crow, not just in the early morning hours.
That edition of Spotlight was by Sarah Borufka. Now, as regular listeners know, at the end of the show, we always offer you a Czech lesson from our Soundcheck series to pick up the odd expression or simply to enjoy. This one is with Ruth Frankova.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll listen to a song called Já na tom dělám by the Eben Brothers. The phrase to look out for is Do bot mi teče. The singer is trying to finish some work, but it seems that he's not going to make it in time. He says it's flowing into his shoes, or, as we would say in Czech, do bot mu teče. The subject of the phrase, it, stands for water, and the closest English idiom would be I am in deep water, or simply, I am in trouble. Listen out for the phrase do bot mi teče once again. When you find yourself in deep water, you might feel like you want to run away, or, as we say in Czech, prasknout do bot. This phrase literally means to whip one's own boots, and the English equivalent would probably be to show a clean pair of heels. Besides water, you can also have straw in your shoes, which isn't very pleasant either. If someone has straw sticking out of his shoes, or čouhá mu sláma z bot, it suggests that he is penniless. Another Czech phrase making use of the word shoe is znám ho jako svý boty. The literal translation is I know him just like my shoes, and it suggests that you know someone very well, just like the back of your hand. And finally, a commonly used phrase is udělat botu, literally to make a shoe. The phrase is used in a metaphorical way, and it means to make a blunder. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. If you want to check this or any of the previous editions of Soundcheck, you can find them at www.radio.cz. Thank you for listening and nashledanou. Už jsem to měl mít, do bot mi teče, snad dneska večer, snad dneska já na tom dělám, já na tom makám.
That edition of Soundcheck was with Ruth Frankova, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. It's well worth checking out, radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. And you can also write to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.